Get Certified Together program is created by TechnoCofe, your free online knowledge sharing website, based out in London.
Important. You need to identify what are your sources, what kind of data you require, and what kind of information you are looking for. Once you have identified everything, you need to start collecting the information. Now, collection is something we have discussed before as well, some kind of logging or some kind of syslog server. Those are like your day-to-day logs. For this particular setup, you can reuse the same solution, or you can deploy some kind of short-term logging solution as well. So you can collect all the information from different sources. Now comes the most important part.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Get Certified Together series. This is episode number 45 I am recording today, and if you are following the show regularly, then of course you can recognize that it's been more than a month when I last recorded my episode and it was available online. So I had although a good reason for that. This is something personal, but it's okay to share with you guys because of course you are my listeners. So I am a dad second time and I was on a paternity break. I was of course supporting my family and taking care of the elder one. Everyone is good, both baby and mom is fine, and of course I wanted to spend some time with them. At times I really thought that I can take out some time and record something, because of course I was reading about the stuff about my next episode whenever I was getting time in between. But to be honest, it didn't feel like that I should be really doing it, because I thought of giving it a full break from any technical stuff for whole 1 month. So neither did I check that regularly, my LinkedIn feed, my Twitter account. I was more into reading those self-help books. I'm not sure whether you are into it. To be honest, I am also not into them. I'm not really into the idea that there might be a book which can help me, which understand my situation and which can help me out in what kind of positivity I need in my life. I love to learn those lessons myself and I love to stay positive myself. So I was not really into reading those self-help books, but I really did find one book which is quite interesting. What made this book stand out among all the books was it's related to procrastination. This is something which we regularly face, means we all have those times when we know that we have to deliver something or we have to work on some task, and then we, instead of working on that, we just simply scroll our mobile phones or simply spend some time somewhere, listen to some songs, and then we blame not only ourselves, but we blame even the situation as well, that this is something which my boss is forcing me to do, this is something my life is so busy that I even cannot take time out for going for some run, or I cannot even take time out for some leisure activities. I have so many things to do. So this book actually deals with both of these topics. First of all, it helps us understand why we actually tend to procrastinate and how we can resolve it instead of blaming ourselves and thinking that we are the lazy person, which is bringing us in this situation where we are avoiding our regular task and we are just wasting our time in doing some other activities. So it's not giving you guide about like how you can manage your time and what kind of tips and tricks you should be having to stop doing that. Instead, this book helped me understand that why we actually do it in the first place and how we can gradually move from using this procrastination from negative towards more on positive side. So for example, one of the biggest fear or one of the biggest tendency which we have which leads to procrastination is when we have these hardcore timelines and we say to ourselves that this is something we have to do, like for example, I have to deliver a project or I have to write a document for a particular code I have written, or even like this, like I have to record something for the audience or I have to record my episode, it's been a long time. These have to words are the one which make ourselves, our inner self, feel like this is something which has been forced upon. I like recording the podcast, but when I say that I have to record something for this week, that means I'm telling to my inner self that someone somewhere is forcing me and this is something which I have to do. Instead of using this term, what I should be saying is I choose to record one of the episodes for this week because this is by my own choice. I want to do it. And this is something which I will be doing this week because I am choosing that task. It's not like someone is forcing me to do it. It's by my own choice. And using those simple tweaks and simple strategies into your mindset, it really helps because I'm not just giving you guys like blind suggestion here. This is something which I am starting to implement now. And I'll be telling you guys honestly if this strategy doesn't work for me in longer term. But at least in short term, I can feel the difference that this is something which is happening. And I can, instead of even like simple those day-to-day household chores, like I have to take out the bins. Instead of that, I just simply tell to myself that this is something which I am doing now. Or this is something which I'll be doing in another hour. And that's my choice then. So instead of someone forcing me, I'm choosing this particular task to deliver. And that makes a hell lot of difference. And of course, this book also talks a lot about like activities, guilt-free leisure time, where if you have done something, some project work, even if that's not finished, it doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice your leisure time or the time which you spend with your family and your friends. If you like going to gym or going for a run, then do those activities, because if you stop yourself from doing those activities and you stick with your work, slowly you will start hating your work, which is of course not recommended, because if I want to be successful in a particular area or I want to be expert in particular field or I have to deliver some project for my office, I will not be able to do my best if I'm hating to do that. So take time out, spend some time outside, and whenever you feel like that it's good time to switch over and go back to your the task which you are supposed to finish, then you go there. Means give your 100% and give your whole mind into that work. And if you don't feel like you're doing that properly and you want a break, then take a break. And during that break, don't think about your project work or don't think about your pending office work. I've talked a lot about this book, haven't told I think the name of that. So the book name is The Now Habit and it's by Mr. Neil Flo. He's PhD and I'm not really sure in is there somewhere it's mentioned in which university or something, but yeah, he's PhD and is a management consultant and licensed psychologist in a private practice in California. All right, seems like good knowledgeable guy, some really good tips here. So I really love that book. If you want to have it and if you want to read about this stuff, then of course feel free to look into this book. I really liked it. Means this is one of the self-help books. Normally all the self-help books I just start them and then I somewhere in between I just stop them because I suddenly feel like this is not something which really relates to me or this is not something which is driving me to do some changes in my life. But this book really helped me out a lot because most of the stuff inside I can really correlate that this is something which I also tend to do, and this is something which is, if I really incorporate those strategies, then it might help me in the longer term. So let's see how it goes. All right, on the soccer front, I'm recording this on the day of Manchester Derby. We lost again, but that's fine because this is something which I was kind of expecting. Game started really good. It was going in our direction. Then I really liked the way team was fighting and team was saving all those attacks from the City. And then finally I got bored of it because then I really wanted them to do some fight back instead of just sitting there like ducks and waiting for City to shoot and score, because it was a matter of one goal only, and moment City had their first goal, it was pretty straightforward for them. So that's the thing, means I'm not sure what to say because this is not the place to do it, because this is our Get Certified Together podcast and not some soccer discussion room. So this is something I'll leave it for my Twitter feed, and let's roll back to our existing episode. So I will be covering the topics related to domain 5 today, and hopefully I'll be wrapping all the topics of domain 5, and we will be moving for domain 6, which is last domain of CCSP. We'll be moving to domain 6 in next episode, and by then we'll be having a better idea like how much we have covered and how many episodes are still required for CCSP. So hopefully CCSP will be wrapped up soon. Alright, before moving to today's episode, let's take a quick short break.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back. For this week episode, like I told that we will be starting off with the remaining topics of domain 5. So one of the topic which is still remaining is related to digital forensics. Now, digital is something which we all know. Any data which is not physical, which is stored either on your laptops or onto the cloud, onto the server, on some memory storage disk, all those data are digital, which you cannot see physically, but you know that this is something which is stored on some location. Forensics is what we want to do with those data, because there might be a time where we have some kind of incident, and what you really want to do is make people accountable after that incident is finished. So remember, there were a lot of phases in incident management, and in the last phase we actually have to discuss like what happened, and we have to document everything, how it started, what kind of data is lost, and in the end we have to make someone accountable. There must be someone who started the first attack, and how people responded to it, how it was taken care of, and how it was resolved is something which is part of incident management. But when we are making people or making some organization accountable, we have to throw some kind of proofs as well, right? I mean, you cannot simply say that there's some kind of data breach and AWS is responsible. You have to show some kind of proofs. You have to show some kind of information in the court of justice. Then only you can prove that how it all started and who is actually responsible. So this whole concept is covered as part of forensics, where we are drilling down all the information. We are uncovering everything, and from the whole bunch of information, we are actually finding the relevant piece and then compiling it and showing it to the relevant people to showcase like how it all started and who is responsible for that. So first and foremost, of course, digital forensics start with identification. So you have to first identify what are your sources of data and what kind of information you want to collect from those sources. So for example, if you are talking in terms of private cloud, you have maybe hundreds or 200 of servers. Not all the information stored on those servers is relevant. So you need to identify which particular server or which particular virtual machine or which particular application for which you require logs. What kind of duration you are looking for. You cannot just simply ask for 6 months old data and then just start reading them. You need to understand that you have a limited capacity to uncover everything and to read through everything. So of course that identification bit is really important. You need to identify what are your sources, what kind of data you require, and what kind of information you are looking for. Once you have identified everything, you need to start collecting the information. Now collection is something we have discussed before as well, some kind of logging or some kind of syslog server. Those are like your day-to-day logs. For this particular setup, you can reuse the same solution or you can deploy some kind of short-term logging solution as well. So you can collect all the information from different sources. Now comes the most important part, which is actual analysis of the data, which can be manual or can be automated as well. Depends on what is the spread of your information or how long is your data which you are using for forensics. And last but not least is we need to maintain the integrity as well. So for example, if you are using a particular set of data and showing it as a proof to make someone accountable in court of justice, you need to make sure that that data is not tampered. And you also need to show to the court or show to the relevant people or stakeholders who own that data during this whole phase from identification to final delivery. There might be 3 or 4 departments or 3 or 4 team members who are working together to capture that information, analyzing it, collecting it, and of course showcasing it into the court of justice. All the people, all the departments, all the team members which work on that data during any phase of this digital forensics need to be recorded, and that's covered as part of chain of custody. Now, one more thing related to collection bit is we normally should always look for a centralized location, and our age-old security technique for data, which is encryption, should be there in place. So data which you are collecting for this digital forensics need to be encrypted, and of course that makes it more safer and more secure in terms of maintaining the integrity of the data. Let's discuss a bit more about the analysis bit, because analysis is something which covers a lot more things besides just reading the information. So once data is collected on a centralized location and you start your analyzing bit, you need to first segregate the relevant information, maybe in terms of like divide them or classify them in terms of secret or top secret, or divide them among different server location, or divide them basis of what kind of information might be stored on that. So if I have some web server data or it has some database information, so you need to classify and segregate them. It will of course make it easier for doing the analysis bit, and it's easier for then transport the data for the next phase as well. Now, analysis mostly cover correlating events. So what you are really doing is you are correlating the events based on impact and what really happened. For example, there is some incident which happened in your organization. When that incident happened and whenever it started, what kind of ripple effect it had on all other servers or all other different applications. So you need to correlate those events, and what it helps in is determining the root cause of incidents and of course providing the accountability on individual sections. Based on all this analysis, a detailed incident report is created and it is shared as part of analysis and covers maybe probable or actual cause. Now this is really important that you may or may not get the actual cause of the event, but you sometimes have to maybe provide a probable cause as well, and that help in identifying or at least providing some kind of basic reasoning like how it happened and how it can be avoided in future, what kind of strategies you want to put in place so that what happened now doesn't repeat itself and doesn't happen again in the future. So you might be getting an actual cause or you might be getting a probable cause as well. For preserving the evidence bit where I mentioned about maintaining integrity and having chain of custody, it is important that you should not only disclose all the relevant information between the stakeholder, and this information will have all the evidences, but also you need to preserve them and keep them tamper-proof, which is of course part of integrity which we discussed. We should also be able to showcase it whenever required. So it's not a one-time process where you have created a data, you have analyzed it, and you have showcased it to one of the stakeholder, and that's it. It's done and dusted. Now you can archive it or delete it. It's not like that. You need to keep that data always in hand. So whenever it's required in the next hearing or whenever it's required for some other judiciary purpose or some other organization, you need to bring it back again in the same situation or in the same condition. So it shouldn't be tampered again. You should be keeping it as safe and as secure and always ready for access. Moving on from digital forensics, our next topic for today is managing communication between the relevant parties. Now, discussion or communication between relevant parties was pretty straightforward in older days when it was private and there was no cloud and you have some kind of like enterprise solution and running one application per server. When you have multi-tenancy and even more when you have kind of like public cloud, you have more stakeholders and you have more parties which are responsible for managing or responsible for working on a particular cloud solution. And each party or each stakeholder require a different way of communication. You cannot just simply share the information across all the stakeholders without thinking that what's their role in the organization or what they are really can or cannot do from that information. Now let's first find out what might be our key stakeholders. So one are our partners, then of course customers, regulators and vendors. Now in case of partners, people who are working with us which are not part of our organization but we are working together to deliver something to customer or deliver something, some application or creating some solution in-house. So those partners need some level of access. They need to know what kind of solution we have already in place, what kind of application we are running in our existing infra, what we want to achieve, so what kind of target application or what kind of target solution we want to create from all these partnerships. So they need some level of access, but they are partners, they are not part of our organization. So we need some kind of like different level of access between the partners and our organization. So they might have visibility of some information, but they shouldn't be having access to everything. It is important to cover their access as part of existing controls in place. So there is no need to create a separate solution for them. Just make sure they are covered as part of your existing controls or existing access control application or solution which you are using. And they should be having a different level of access. That's the only thing we want. And this includes both onboarding and offboarding as well. Because remember, they are partners. So whenever they have worked with us and our partnership is over, then they have to go back and they have to work with someone else. So we need to offboard them just like we are offboarding an existing employee. In case of customer, it is really important that we have open and clear communication with them. But of course, we shouldn't be sharing every information related to our infrastructure because we might have kind of like multi-tenancy where multiple customers are using our infrastructure. So we cannot share information related to other customers to them, like what kind of organization which we are serving along with you. So we have to make some kind of gaps or some kind of security there. But beside that, we need to make sure that we have open and clear communication with the customer because it really helps us in justifying or avoiding any kind of SLA breach which might happen in future. And of course, it, like you remember, cloud itself is a shared responsibility model. So maybe some information or some aspect of security might lie with the customers as well. So it's best to discuss with them like what kind of strategies are there in place and what's expected from them and what's expected from us by them. So it's not like if they are our customer, then they can ask anything or they can blame us for everything. We have to make a clear open communication there. In terms of regulators, it's pretty simple. We cannot hide anything from the regulators. They are kind of our chief inspection officers who can come in and ask for anything and we have to just showcase it to them. Hiding or telling lie or giving wrong or falseful information, of course, can hurt your organization. So it's really no-brainer that regulators need access for everything and they should be getting all the information, all the data. Even though you might think that this is something not relevant for them, but still it's best to convey what kind of information you are having with you related to your infrastructure, related to your deployment onto the public cloud, what kind of locations you are using, what are different applications, what are different solutions you are using from different public service cloud provider, share everything with them. Now, vendors might not need information for whole infrastructure and deployment because they are vendors, they are just providing some solution or some services. But if some services or if some application is relevant or it's related to the kind of solution which they are delivering for us, then we have to provide that information, means otherwise that solution will not work. For example, there is an application which need integration with your existing infrastructure or integration with your existing OSS or CRM solution. You need to share information related to maybe API documentation, what kind of version you're using for that application, what kind of traps you need to send between that new application which your vendor is providing to your OSS servers. So you need to share information relevant to that solution, whichever is relevant for vendors. Of course, they don't need all the other bits, and if they are asking for that, then this is something fishy. Now for the last topic of domain 5, this is something which I was really confused, because this topic actually covered security operations management, which is related to monitoring, firewall, IDES, IPS, honeypots, logging, SIEM solution, incident management. I clearly recall that we have covered these topics before as well. So I really don't want to go into them again in this week's episode. But if this is something you really want me to cover, then feel free to let me know. You can of course send me a tweet on my Twitter, because you might be thinking that why I'm mentioning Twitter again and again, because lately I'm quite active on Twitter. I'll be sharing my account in this week episode as well. So you can send me message there, and if this is something which is really relevant for you guys, then I can cover it again. To be honest, means this is something which is quite straightforward, discussing about firewall, IDS, IPS. We have covered it. But if this is something which you want me to cover again, then feel free. I will be covering that in the next week episode. For the next week episode in domain 6, we will be covering legal risk and compliance, which is of course not that interesting for me, but we have to cover it because it's part of CCSP. So we will be having topics related to risk associated within cloud environment, what kind of regulation strategies should be there, and how it is different in the cloud-based solution compared to our existing on-prem. I have a bit idea about this because I have started reading on it. That's it for today's episode. A news related to ISIS Square. Like I told you in, I think, episode number 43, that I am a member of ISIS Square Core Volunteer in Thames Valley chapter. So we will be having our first meetup in either in March end or April end, and I am arranging someone as a speaker for this particular meetup which we are planning. It's kind of like big ownership right away. I just 1 month back I joined it, and then I volunteered myself that I'll be bringing some speaker for one of the meetup in related to security talk. So we will be having that event. Of course, it will be a free event. You will be getting information related to that on Eventbrite. There's no need for someone being an ISC Square member to attend that conference. It will be online, but of course it makes sense if you are an ISC Square member, then it can count in your CPE points. But I'll be sharing information about that as well. Probably by the time I'll be ready with my next episode, we'll be also having the invite for that meetup as well. All right, that's it for today's episode. We will be meeting again in the next week episode, and till then, goodbye and good luck.
Thank you for listening to Get Certified Together. If you loved our content, then please like and subscribe from your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss the notification for our next episodes and announcements.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.